I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking to Kerry Emanuel, who's a professor of atmospheric science at MIT, whose specialty is severe weather events. And Kerry, most of us are exposed to severe weather events, we hope only when we watch the Weather Channel, but obviously you have much more involvement with them. What exactly have you figured out about severe weather events, and how do you figure things out?
Well, I have been studying all kinds of different weather events for quite a long time, and starting out, actually, my career studying tornadoes and doing some field work, trying to get high-speed photogrammetry done so that we could estimate wind speeds and so forth, and more recently, tropical cyclones or hurricanes. And scientists who approach these problems are interested in understanding the physics and general behavior of the phenomena. And there are several approaches to doing that. The one that's probably best known to people in general is just to go out and observe them and take measurements and characterize their behavior. But there's a whole body of theory that we developed to try to understand the inner workings of these events. And we also use computer models to try to test our understanding by encoding our understanding in the computational codes of those models.
I know that planes, for one thing, go into hurricanes to try to gather data. Do you have a lot of data and it's just hard to assimilate it, or would you like much more data?
Well, we have a lot of data on mature hurricanes. We've been flying into them since the 1940s using ever more sophisticated measurement techniques. So, for example, in the last few decades, we've flown Doppler radar on airplanes into hurricanes. The Doppler radar works on the same principle as the radar that the police use to trap you in speeding. Basically, we have a scanning system that sends out pulses of radiation that reflect off of small particles, mostly raindrops and so forth. Come back, you measure the Doppler shift, and that tells you the velocity of the air and the particles toward or away from the radar. And by looking at the same sample from different angles as you fly by, you can get different velocity components and put together a kind of a three-dimensional CAT scan of the wind field of hurricanes. So we're doing very well with mature hurricanes. We're doing far less well measuring systems that are just in their formative stages, where it's not even clear that they will become hurricanes or not. And there are both practical and political reasons why it's difficult to get aircraft time to make measurements like that, but we still don't understand very well the formation process.
That would be before they were even tropical depressions?
Yes, that's right. We would like to examine the evolution of systems from the time they become just clusters of thunderstorms until they become hurricanes, and also very carefully examine the behavior of clusters that don't go on to become tropical storms, because obviously you'd like to know the difference between the two.
It's probably true that these kinds of storms are affected by climate, but do they affect climate as well?
We're beginning to think so, and there are two potential routes for which they could affect climate. One is that, of course, everybody knows that it rains a lot in hurricanes, but the total amount of rainfall that falls all over the tropical atmosphere is kind of constrained by the Earth's energy balance. If you're having a lot of rain in a hurricane, it means that somewhere nearby you're not having very much rain at all or less than normal. So you're always robbing Peter to pay Paul. But there's nevertheless a difference that hurricanes are much more efficient precipitators. And what that means is that a far greater fraction of the water vapor ascending in hurricane clouds comes back to the surface as rain. And ironically, what that means is that in the net, the hurricanes dry out the atmosphere on a large scale. They actually make the atmosphere drier over a large scale than it would otherwise be. You're taking more water out of the atmosphere than is usually the case. And that has a profound influence on climate, because water vapor is the most important greenhouse gas, far and away more important than carbon dioxide. So if you change hurricane activity, that's one route by which you can affect climate. There's another route, which has to do with the fact that hurricanes have a very profound effect on the upper 200 meters or so of the ocean. What they do is they're like a giant egg beater. They come along and they violently mix the upper ocean, and they mix a lot of cold water from the depths up to the surface, and conversely, they mix warm water from the surface down to the depths. So by turning the ocean column upside down like that, there are some interesting consequences. And one of them is that gradually the sort of cold, anomalously cold water that you see in the wakes of hurricanes near the ocean surface goes away over 3 weeks because it's being reheated by the sun. And that constitutes actually an enormous energy input to the ocean, much more than we used to suspect. so much so that we think that hurricanes make a substantial contribution to the overall global overturning of the ocean that transports enormous quantities of heat from equatorial regions toward the poles. We call that the thermohaline circulation. So we think that hurricanes may have something to do with that. And if that's so, then you have an interesting situation because hurricanes would not only respond to climate change, but they would actually, to some extent, drive climate change.
That's Kerry Emanuel, professor of atmospheric science at MIT. And in part two, we'll talk about hurricane forecasts some more. And he'll also talk about both the need and the opportunities for students in the field.